Okay, today we're going to learn the last Mishnah of the 7th Perek and the first Mishnah of the 8th Perek of Maseches Peah. The 8th is the final Perek of Maseches Peah, so we draw ever closer to the conclusion of Maseches Peah. So it says Mishnah Ches now. Now the basic rule to know for this Mishnah is that if something belongs to Hegdish, it's Pater from Trumas and Maestros. It's Pater from the, if something belongs to Hegdish, not only Pater from Trumas and Maestros, it's also Pater from the Matnas Anim. So, like at Shikha Peah, all that stuff doesn't have to be given, Peret, Olulos, all that stuff doesn't have to be given from that which belongs to Hegdish. So, but the key is that it has to belong to Hegdish at the moment that the Chiyuv sets in. If the Chiyuv had set in, and then it was given to Hegdish, or if it was redeemed from Hegdish, and then the Chiyuv set in, then it would not be Pater. So that's what our Mishnah highlights, that HaMakdish Karmo, Ad Shelo Nodubo HaOleilos, that if a person is Makdish his Kerem, before they're able to identify which clusters are not going to develop and are going to become Oleilos, because remember, Oleilos are those clusters that don't really develop as a full cluster. They don't have the bunches growing out of the top of the stem, and they don't have the hanging grapes at the bottom of the stem, so you can't yet tell that at such an early stage of their development, then ain't Oleilos la'aniyim. Then the Oleilos will not go, when they do develop, it's in the property of Hegdish that they develop, and therefore it doesn't have to go to the aniyim, because anything that belongs to Hegdish doesn't go to the aniyim. Meaning, what the Mishnah is telling us is that at the moment you can identify a cluster as Oleilos, that's when it becomes Oleilos. That's when it becomes something that ought to go to aniyim. So if at that moment it belonged to Hegdish, it doesn't go to aniyim. Mishenel debaha Oleilos, but if you were already able to identify it as Oleilos before you were Makdishit, so then Oleilos Aniyim. Then the Oleilos are going to have to go to the Aniyim because you've already been able to identify as Oleilos before you were Makdishit. So the Chiyuv had set in before you were Makdishit. And all of this is a Chiddush because you don't actually give the Oleilos to the Aniyim until the time of the harvest. So even though the Shas Chiyuv is not, of giving it, is not till later, the time that the Chiyuv sets in is earlier on. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yitnus Char Gidul of the Hegdish. And then Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, but by the way, if you're Makdish Oleilos, so even though it's it may be something that goes to Aniyim eventually, but it's going to continue to grow and flourish from the ground and from Yanika, from Hegdish. So you have to pay Hegdish for that benefit that it got. So you have to take the difference in value of what it was worth at the time you were Makdish and what it's worth at the time you harvested and give that to Hegdish. Ezu hishikha ba'aris. So the Mishnah says, well, wait a second, let's go back to the din of shikha. Let's say you have grapevines that are growing on a trellis. They're growing on like a wooden trellis. At what point do you say that the forgotten grapes on that vine are considered shechta? If it's beyond your arm's reach, if you're not able, you pass by it and you're not able to take it, then it's not going to be considered shechta. But if you're still able to reach back to take it, then it's not going to be considered shechta. But if you have vines that are on the ground that people walk right past or right over with their feet, so then as soon as you pass by it, it's shikha. And the Rav explains the called Geffen v'Geffen min haroglios chashiva ka'uman b'fnei atzmo va'asul lashuv me'uman la'uman, that each one is considered its own entity and they're separate from each other. And once you move past that vine and you moved on to the next one, so then it's already considered to have been forgotten. So now we move on to Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. So the Mishnah says, "Me'emasai kaladim mutarim b'leket." At what point do we say, you know, the aniyim had their chance? They went to take whatever leket they could get, and now it's time. Whatever is there is available to everybody, and even people who are not aniyim can take it. So mishayelcho hanamoshos. That time comes when the nemoshos have passed through the field. So says the Bar Tanura, what are nemoshos? Ist mefarshi zekeinim aholchem al mishantam. Some say it means old people that walk with a cane. Meaning they're very slow, so by the time they get through the field, there's no one else coming, right? There are no further aniyim that still need to come, and therefore anybody can go to the field and take the leket. V'istim mefarshi likute bas likute, and some say the last pickers of the leket. Shemeach sheyelch besad loktim achal loktim, since so many streams of people have gone through the field, so then you know that kvar nisyashu aniyim eos hasada. You know that the aniyim must have given up much hope of getting any anything valuable in that field, and therefore whatever is there afterwards is considered hefker, and once it's hefker, both aniyim and ashirim are allowed to take it. Beperet ba'olelos, when do peret and olelos become available for everybody, for even ashirim to be able to take? When the aniyim walked through the field and came back through the field. Ubezesim, and when do olives become shichcha? When do olives that were shichcha become available to everybody to take, and no longer are considered shichcha that's dedicated only for aniyim? Mishaterid Raviyah Shania. That's when the second rain comes down. And the Bartanur points out that in an average year, that is on the 23rd of Mar Cheshvan. So Rabbi Yehuda says, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda says, that can't be. Valo Yeshena Moskin as they say, there are those that are not that don't even harvest their olives until after the Revi'a Shniya. So how could that be that it's going to no longer be Shecha anymore? It's going to be Hefker for everybody by the Revi'a Shniya? No, rather the shicha and peah of olives become mutter to the whole world, to even ashirim, when the amount of what's left is so small that if the poor person would go out into the olive orchard to go collect olives, he wouldn't even bring back 4 sa'as worth of olives. And is a 4. Excuse me, an Isser is a small coin. 4 Issers is enough to buy 4 meals, which is a day's worth of food for 2 people, for a husband and wife, let's say, 2 meals for each of them. They always assume Chazal, people eat 2 meals. That's what Bartanur explains, that the poor people consider anything less than that too small of an amount to be worth going back for, to be able to go back to try to take, because they're not even going to get Mazon Shtei Sudas, they're not even going to get 1 meal, 1 day's worth of food for the 2 of them. Okay, so let's quickly summarize the Mishnahs that we did today. So first we did Perek Zayin Mishnah Ches, which taught us that if a person that if the Olelos develop while it's in Rishos Hagdish, the Aniyim are not entitled to it. And then we said that at what point grapevines, the grapes and vines will become Shichcha for vines that are on a trellis as well as for vines that are on the floor. If it's on a trellis, when you can't reach it anymore, if it's on the floor as soon as you pass by it. And then in Mishnah Aleph of Perek Ches, we learned at what point we assume that the Matnas Aniyim period ends, and now even Ashirim are allowed to take it. For Leket, for Peret, for Alelos, and for Zesim, for Shicha of Zesim. But the Shicha of Zesim was subject to Machlokes, right? Whether the time that it's available to everybody is Mishateri Revi'a Shniya, or is it at the time that the Ani will not be able to find Arba'a Isaros from the produce. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up next time with Perek Ches Mishnah Beis.